In honor of you moms this morning,
Sarah is introduced in the Bible, and her introduction is, this is Sarai, and she's not a mom. So she had no children. That was her introduction. She had no children. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, the Bible says this: through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. If you know very much about Sarah's life, most of what's recorded is not necessarily her believing God. It's maybe her laughing about being told about this promise, or coming up with a plan, her and Abraham coming up with a plan to make something happen that God was going to do without really their help. But apparently, according to Hebrews, Sarah has faith, and it's that faith that allowed God to work through her and produce a child and fulfill, at least be in the line of the fulfillment of the promised seed, which would be Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk to you this morning about her faith, a mother's faith. Let's pray one more time, and then we will get right into this. Father, I pray that you'd help us, particularly if anybody here is lost. Lord, I pray that you would give a clear understanding of their need for Jesus Christ. I pray that the gospel would be clear. I pray that those that are saved would be encouraged in this lesson, this message here. And Father, thank you for our guests. Thank you for Rob and Ariana getting here safely. I pray you would get them back safely. And as Rob preaches this evening, you fill them with your Holy Spirit. And thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for our moms, and I pray that you'd really be blessed by what goes on here. Be honored. We could honor you. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Couple of little things here. Here's a good poem for mothers. It says, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray my sanity to keep. For if some peace I do not find, I fear I may just lose my mind. I pray I find a little quiet away from the family riot. May I have a moment and not have to think about what he's stuffing down the sink, or what outrageous tales he's told and what stolen treasures his pockets hold. Some peaceful moments, for goodness sake. Did I just hear a window break? Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray my sanity to keep, but as I look around, I know I must have lost it long ago." And then, a little thing about moms here and children. It says at 6, we say, "I love you, Mom." At 10, we say, "Whatever, Mom." At 16, we say, "Mom is so annoying." At 18, "I want to leave this house." At 25, we say, "Mom was right." At 30, we say, "Can I come over, Mom?" At 50, we say, "I don't want to lose my mom." And at 70, we say, "I would give anything to have my mom here with me." That's true. That's true. In Hebrews 11, you see a mother's faith. And Sarah is really the quintessential mother in the Bible. Oftentimes in the Bible, or oftentimes the way the Lord just deals with ladies in particular, They won't have children, and then the Lord will bless them with children. I think of Hannah. I think of Sarah. It seemed like there's several examples of this. When Samson was born, his mom and dad couldn't have children. Mom couldn't have a child. And Sarah here, she can't have children. She hadn't had any children, and she's past the age of having children. That part of her life is done. And she's about 90 years old. And so naturally, there is no hope of having a child in Sarah's life. But there is a promise that came from God. There was a promise to Abraham and Sarah that God would produce nations out of them and kings and multitudes of people. And so Sarah's faith, particularly, I'm going to show you a couple things about her faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that she received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And here's why. Here's why that happened. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. That was the reason. I think of all the times in the Bible, and many come to mind. I think of Daniel. When Daniel's in the lion's den, and the Bible says specifically he was delivered because he believed his God. Because he believed in his God. And so it was faith that allowed God to work, kind of like we heard this morning from Robert. It's faith that allowed God to work through her body, overcome the natural frailty, the natural inability. And God was able to work and bring about a miraculous birth there. So the first thing I would say about Sarah's faith that you and I ought to learn from, it's a faith that the Lord will produce life out of death, just like he said. That's what she believed. The Bible says, and when it describes Sarah's body at this time, and Abraham's body, it says that they were past the age of childbearing, and her body was, in a sense, it was dead. That's how it's described. And so she believed that God was able to bring life out of death. How does that apply to you and me? It's a very easy transition to make. If you're going to trust Jesus Christ, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to have the righteousness of God imputed to you, one thing you have to believe is that God is able to bring life out of death. You have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to believe that in the midst of death, God is able to bring life. And the reason is, I think, fairly easy to understand, because God himself, Jesus Christ, is life. And he doesn't need anything particular to create life. He is life. He one time created life out of dirt, and then he created another life out of rib, and then he created life out of a man and a woman. And then, I mean, he is life. I remember Jesus Christ said that to Mary and Martha. That and I love it. I love the way it's said, and I love the thought of it. That when Lazarus died, and Martha is just sort of getting on Jesus Christ about it, you know, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died, and those kinds of things. And after 4 days, Lazarus has been in the tomb there, and Martha and Mary are both, they're both upset about it. And Jesus Christ, he says, well, Lazarus is going to rise again. And they said, we know he'll rise again at the resurrection. We know at some point in time he's coming back up. And Jesus Christ so eloquently and plainly says, no, it's not that he's going to come up in a day. It's I am the resurrection. I'm life. Me. It's me. I'm life. And what Sarah believed, going back to Sarah, Sarah knew there's no way she can produce life. There's no way her and Abraham can produce life. But she knew God in heaven could produce life out of anything. And so, first thing is, it's a faith that the Lord will produce life out of death, just as the Lord said he would. You believe she believed God for, you could say, a supernatural birth. And if you're saved here today, you believe God for a supernatural birth. Like Jesus Christ said, being born again, you must be born again. There's a supernatural birth there. And the power is with God and given to them that believe, just like Sarah. When Sarah was told God would bless her with a child, and if you remember, you go back and some of her reactions at first weren't exactly belief. And you think back to it, you know, I hear people say, you know, I'd never heard the gospel before or things like that. I think people hear the gospel maybe more than they think they do. I don't know. Maybe they do. But the first time it made sense, or the first time it really made sense to you, and the Lord was dealing with your heart. You think of those times, maybe you've heard the gospel if you're saved, and you maybe heard it before and kind of scoffed at it and thought, you know, that doesn't sound right. That was Sarah's reaction at first. She heard, you know, God's going to provide a child to her and Abraham, and she sort of laughed it off, and it's like, well, how in the world is that going to happen? I think that's a lot of people's reaction to Jesus Christ and to the Bible and to the future and the future second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. I mean, you talk to people about, you know what, if this world isn't going to look like this forever, Jesus Christ will return, and people kind of, you know, you're so, I don't know. I mean, we got our lives to live, and, you know, we got stuff to do and all that stuff. And there's no thought of how things work out in the future past their own lives, or at least past their own bodies anyway. And so Sarah's first reaction wasn't exactly, belief. There was another time in there, actually before she laughed, where she'd heard that promise, and she got together with Abraham and said, you know, I'm too old to have a child. Maybe the child's supposed to come through Hagar, the handmaid here that we brought back with us from Egypt. And so Abraham, they agreed, and Abraham and Hagar had a child, and that wasn't the promise. But it was a sort of, we kind of believe God, but we're going to help God out a little bit. You know, we need to do something to make this happen, because God's not going to be able to work through my body, because I can't do that. But God doesn't need you to be able to do that. I hear folks say this, I've used the excuse too. But when I got called to preach, it was like I told y'all the story. I mean, I didn't pass public speaking in college, and when I get called to preach, I'm like, I can't do that. I can't talk in front of people, and I still can't. So. But I mean, and you make these excuses, and it's like, well, the Lord's like, I don't need you to be able to do this. I just need you to be a willing vessel so I can do it through you. I don't need your abilities. In fact, what I need is your inability. I need you to be weak so that I can be strong through you. I need your inability. And you hear folks say, I don't pass out tracts, or I don't talk to people because, you know, I don't know what to say, and I can't do that kind of stuff. Good, you're a candidate to pass out tracts and to talk to people. God doesn't need your ability. He needs your inability. He needs your willingness. He needs you as a vessel. And that's all Sarah provided. She's a vessel. She's just a willing-hearted vessel. Now, at the beginning, like we're saying, there were some times that were a little bit rocky there. They came up with a plan to have a child with somebody else and kind of have a surrogate mother there, and that wasn't the plan. That wasn't God's plan anyway, but that's like religion. Sarah goes to figure out how to make this promise of God work, kind of like religion says, you know, I'll help God out. I know there's heaven and hell, and You know, maybe I'll do the best I can in this life, and hopefully God will He'll smile on my life and be happy with what happened with my life. God is not happy with your life. He's happy with Jesus Christ's life. And He will be happy with your life if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ and trust Jesus Christ and walk in those steps of faith that we heard about in Sunday school. But it's not that you're going to assist God in salvation or assist God in at the judgment. He's told you what the judgment is. He's told you how He's going to handle that. He's told you about your sin. He's told you about your need for Jesus Christ. But religion says, I'll help God out, kind of like Sarah did at the beginning. I'll help God out. And that turns into a mess. Just like in Sarah's life, it turned into a mess with Hagar and Abraham and Ishmael and all that thing. It's just like religion. And instead of believing and yielding to what God already said, religion says, let me try to accomplish this thing in my flesh. Let me try to do this thing because I don't have the I can't imagine God doing anything outside of my own abilities or anything like that. So there's sort of this unbelief, this religious response to God's promise. There's some mocking that went on when Sarah was told about the promise and the child and Isaac coming along. In fact, Isaac's name means laughter. And the reason Isaac is named Isaac is because when the Lord told Abraham and Sarah about having a baby, that was their response was mockery, is laughter. It's just like, how is this going to happen? How in the world is this going to happen? So it is. Some of you here, I know I'm talking to some of you here. The first time, or maybe you're hearing my voice now. You're hearing what we're talking about here. You hear about Jesus Christ, and your response is, "This stuff is just a joke." I mean, I come to church, and maybe mom makes me come to church, or dad makes me come to church, or you know, it's just sort of a joke. It's just sort of I can't imagine God would do anything or is doing anything. Maybe you're an adult here and that's what you think. Maybe you're just here on Mother's Day just to honor your mom or something. I'm glad you're here. But what you believe about what God said depends what God's going to do with you. And it depends where your eternity is going to be. And if you don't understand, I mean, you maybe understand, you just don't believe it. But there is coming a time, and I've said it so many times, but when you die, the Bible says, after this, it's appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. So death is not the end of things. Death is a beginning. It's a new beginning of something else. It may be the beginning of eternal life. It may be the beginning of eternal death. And that determination is made by what you've done with these words, and what you've done with Jesus Christ. Sarah laughed. Abraham even laughed. There was some mockery. Maybe some of you are here, and you say, "No, I don't laugh at the words of God. I take them very seriously." And I hope you do. I hope that's true. I hope you take them seriously. But you know the best indicator of what you actually believe is your behavior. That's the best indicator of what you actually believe. I'll give you an example. I think you understand that simple statement, but if I just imagine, let's say mom or dad is in the swimming pool and you got a baby or toddler standing at the edge, and dad's saying, "Jump in, I'll catch you." And the child is, "Oh, I believe you, I believe you." Okay, jump in. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. You know what the indicator is? You don't believe Dad's going to catch you. The best indicator of what you believe is your behavior. And so maybe you're here and you say, I believe God. I take His words very seriously. And I think in groups like ours, we can make a stake in the ground and say, you know what? I stand firm on the Bible, and make that the end goal. That I stand firm on the Bible, and that's it. Oh, I stand firm on the Bible. What is that? Well, that doesn't mean anything, again, if it doesn't affect your life in any way. Doctrine is not a mentality, it's a behavior. Sarah laughs. Sarah comes up with another plan. But eventually, Sarah trusts God. And when she trusts God, now God has a vessel that He can work through, that He can use. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:11, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. That was the reason she was able to have a child, because of her trust in God. You believe God, and you believe Jesus Christ is life. He is life. He can produce life out of whatever He wants to, because He is life. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Here's the second thing. Sarah's faith justified her. We went through a couple of instances, and you don't have to turn to them, but instances of failure in Sarah's life, instances where she didn't believe God, and there are other times, other things that you could probably point to in Sarah's life that weren't necessarily faithful things that she did. But the fact is, when she trusted God, when she finally trusted God, and God was able to use her to produce a child, Sarah's faith justified her. Does this mean Sarah never messed up? No, that's not what it means. It means Sarah's faith allowed the Lord to fulfill His promise through her. She was justified. You know what? If you trust Jesus Christ, the Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sarah's faith allowed the Lord to fulfill His promise through her, and not in spite of her. Just like your faith, if you trust Jesus Christ, that faith is what justifies you. it's, as a Christian, if you're here, you're saved. The reality is, some of you got saved early. Some of you may have got saved early on. And you've done more sinning after you got saved than before. I mean, you've committed more sin after you got saved. The fact is, though, and the truth is, it's faith that justifies you. It's you can't be justified by your works. Nobody can be justified by the way. You can't be justified by, what I mean is, you can't be justified by good works. You can't be justified by doing something to impress God. It's faith. It's trusting what God said and allowing Him to work through you. That's justified faith. Sarah's faith produced a miraculous birth. And Sarah's faith allowed God to give her strength to have a baby. Believing God yielded fruitfulness in her life. And it's life that she couldn't produce on her own. It was God that produced the life. She became a vessel for the work of the Lord. Here's a good verse from the New Testament about this. The Bible says this. It says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. It's faith that justifies. You trust Jesus Christ, and I encourage you to. I encourage you to. I don't know where most of y'all stand here this morning, or some of you stand this morning. Maybe this morning it's just a sort of a religious ritual. You come to a church, you do your church thing, you go back and you live your life. And this is just sort of a religious deal. That's not trusting Jesus Christ. Sitting in a pew, there are probably thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of lost people sitting in pews this morning. And there are probably thousands of lost people sitting in independent Baptist church pews this morning. And just because somebody has the right Bible, or just because somebody says they believe the Bible, or just because somebody, I don't know, I mean, there are all kinds of things we make into salvation that aren't salvation. For instance, I mean, I think of this. Where in the Bible, just to throw this out there as a thought, where in the Bible does it say to get saved, you need to pray a certain prayer? Where does it say that if you pray this certain prayer, then that means you're saved? I mean, how many people are, I can't count or remember, people who have I've talked to, and it's there's confusion. They grew up a little bit, became teenagers, and now they're disoriented, maybe in their 20s or 30s, and it's like, well, you know, I went forward and I prayed this prayer one time, and it just, you know, I don't know if I'm saved or not saved. I don't know what's up or down. Because when you make something salvation that's not salvation, it's trusting Jesus Christ is a matter of, it's you and the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand your need for salvation. You understand you're a sinner. You understand that sin is going to take you to hell one day. And if you don't understand that part of it, you're not being saved, because there's nothing to be, you're not being saved from anything. Salvation is deliverance from the wrath of God that He was eventually going to pour on the earth and pour on the world and recreate this whole thing. Sarah's faith, back to Sarah here. Sarah's faith justified her. Sarah's faith that justified her. Now, this is going to be, we're going to wrap this up pretty quick here. You got two things about Sarah's faith that you ought to remember. Sarah's faith justified her, and Sarah's faith was a belief that God could produce life where He promised He would produce life. The Lord requires, what you read in Hebrews 11:11, there's a whole list of faithful folks. The Lord requires you and me to have faith like Sarah had. Requires that faith. At the beginning of this chapter in Hebrews 11, it said, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Lord requires you to have faith. That is the basis. That is the bottom line. That is the first steps with God. So I want to give you an opportunity. I don't know, again, saved, lost, where you're at. But please listen. Please listen. The Lord requires you to have the faith that Sarah had, to believe that God is able to produce life in spite of death, in spite of no life, in spite of inability, in spite of what you think is possible. I think of those disciples. They over and over, the Lord said, I am going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. And 3 days later, the disciples go fishing. It seems like nobody's expecting the Lord to rise again, even though He said it multiple times, even though it's over and over in the Old Testament. The Lord produces life where death is. That's what Sarah believed. This morning, if you're, I want you to take an honest inventory of your own faith, or what you call faith. You understand you're a sinner. You understand one day those sins are going to be judged. Period. One day. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. That includes you. It includes me. But take an honest inventory of what you call faith and what you think faith is. You understand you're a sinner. People say this. They say things like, you know, I think I'm a good person. And I mean, you get the idea. All of you have probably heard that. Maybe even said it. I think I'm a good person. Here's a couple of thoughts. The Bible gives 10 commandments. I mean, you can go through a couple of them. He says, don't lie. The Lord says, don't lie. Say, how many lies have you told? Well, a few. Okay. Would a good person be a liar? Probably not. How many times have you set something before Jesus Christ in your life? How many times have you put something and made it more important than Jesus Christ? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's a big one. How many times have Jesus Christ, in Matthew, boy, he ups the ante a little bit. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And he says, look, if you look at a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery with her in your heart already. We talked about that before. The point that I'm trying to make is, you understand, you need to understand, you are a sinner. And those sins are going to be paid for. Period. They're going to be paid for. It's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. And he says about the judgment, and he says, abominations, all wickedness, all, and he gets to the point, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. See, I told you it's Mother's Day, we're going to talk about the lake of fire. But it's an opportunity. I mean, we're here at Mother's Day and got some visitors. And all those sins are going to be judged. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you've never come to the point to say, I know I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinner, and there is no hope for me. I don't have a chance. There's nothing I can do to get out of this position, because I am in the place of owing God my life. He gave me life. He gave me breath. And I took that life and I perverted that life. I put filthy things in my mind and in my heart. I did bad things with this body. And I am in the position of owing God my life. And the Bible says he's going to judge. He said he's going to judge all that. He will. And if your sins have never been paid for, he says over there in Revelation, that soul will die not only the first death with the body, but that soul will now die a second death in a lake of fire. And that is unquenchable fire. You say, God's such a horrible God. How could he do something so terrible like that? Well, the reality is, when the Lord creates a righteous, holy, good new heavens and new earth, there is no place for sin. And so he's going to do something with the sin, because there won't be any place for it in the future. All sinners shall have their part, or all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that's all bad news. The good news then is this. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was made sin, made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is the righteousness of God for you, for me. He is the satisfaction. The Bible says in Isaiah, the Father looked down and he saw the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and he was pleased. And he accepted it. It was acceptable. And then Jesus Christ rose again the third day, rose on the third day, and then he offers life freely. You think you're a good, some of you here probably think yourselves good business people. You would be foolish, to pay for something that was already paid for. Jesus Christ paid for your sin, and he offers life, eternal life, freely to whosoever will, And if you'll trust Jesus Christ, you come to him as a sinner, you know there's nothing you offer. You can't improve on what Jesus Christ has done. Let's just hypothetically, real quick, if you could do what Jesus Christ did, and there's no way you could, but if you could work your way to heaven, you still wouldn't improve on what Jesus Christ did. You can't improve on it. You can't do better than that. So I offer you, and I wanted to give you this. That's the gospel. You're a sinner. Your sins are going to be paid for one way or another. God's going to judge those sins. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And he offers you life freely. And what Sarah believed, going back to Sarah, because you and I are commanded, we got to have faith like Sarah had. Sarah believed that the Lord would produce life out of death. You're in a dying body. This body's going in the grave, one way or another. Sarah believed the Lord would produce life out of death, just like he said. And it was Sarah's faith that justified her. Jesus Christ said this. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. But with Jesus Christ, he doesn't need your help. He doesn't need your, oh, I say help. He needs your willing vessel. He needs he can use your faith. He can use your body. He can use your mouth. He can use your hands if you'll let him. He can use your mind. He can use your heart if you'll let him. If you're here and you're saved, allow the Lord to work through you like Sarah did. If you're here and you're lost, say, I've never heard the gospel. I don't know. This is all news to me. I'd be glad to talk to you after this. But I want to take this opportunity on Mother's Day. People watching, people here visiting, I want to take this opportunity here on Mother's Day to give you the gospel through Sarah's eyes. Sarah trusted the Lord for life out of death, and Sarah's faith is what justified her. You know what your faith will do? It justifies you. You trust Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whom we have redemption through his blood by faith. And you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's offered to you. So just simply this morning. Sarah's a good mother in the Bible. Sarah's greatly used of God. She's used of God because of her faith, justified because of her faith, allowed the Lord to produce life through her body because of her faith, allowed to be a vessel because of her faith. You can do the same thing. You're saved. If you're lost, you got to get saved first. But I encourage you this morning, as Sam comes and plays a little bit, just to hopefully a little bit of an encouragement, but also I want him to give you the gospel. And if you've never heard those things before and you want to talk more about Jesus Christ, you want to understand more about being saved, Alan will be up here, I'll be up here. Sam plays, let's do this. I'll tell you what. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, reflect on Sarah's faith, how it applies to you and me, how it applies to Jesus Christ and our trust in Jesus Christ. He's life. The gospel is you're a sinner. Those sins have got to be paid for. And they will be paid for one way or another. And the reality is Jesus Christ already paid for them. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Whosoever. I'll give you a little time to reflect on this. Think about these things. And again, if you need to visit with somebody, Alan's up here. I'll be available after all this. But God bless you guys for being here. Let's have a little time to reflect on these things. All right, you guys can look up here. Ben, you got a song for us?